We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ready, down, put.
This is the Bear Report Podcast. With Zach Pearson, and Aaron Lenning, providing extensive coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears!
Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Pearson and Aaron Lenning.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bear Report Podcast, 2024 NFL Draft. Just about 10 days away, and the excitement is still in the air. Chicago holds the number one and number nine pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, four picks in total. We're going to break down everything pre-draft, get you caught up on the latest, give our thoughts here on the Bear Report about the 2024 NFL Draft of Chicago Bears. For this episode, we're going to do a little bit of a roundtable. I'm here with my co-host, Aaron Lemming. We're also joined by hosts of the Picks for Polls podcast, Bear Report writers, Yusaid Kosal and Andrew Freeman. And we'll get right into all this stuff with a couple questions. I'm going to get their insight into it. First off, let me bring in the guys. Aaron, how you doing, man? You're on mute. You are on.
I'm on mute. See, that's what I'm saying. Good. I'm losing my damn mind with these Fosters. So yeah, no, I'm all right, man. I'm ready. I'm just ready for the draft. I'm tired of all the lead up to it. So this will...
you're fostering like an entire NFL offense. You have like 11 kittens, you said.
So I got 11 kittens and we got two foster dogs too, and they're both Great Danes. So our animals. Yeah, dude, it's a zoo in here.
And we'll bring in Yusaid Kosal, one of the co-hosts of Picks for Polls. How you doing, man?
I am doing well. Kind of in the same boat as Aaron. I'm so tired of the off-season talk. I got a little countdown in the football office going. I take a picture of it every day, days until Caleb Williams, a Bear. I think we're, 10 days out at this point? Because, yeah, there's not really much else going on.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We're getting about, by the time we listen to this, published Tuesday, it'll be about 10 days, 9-10 days until the draft. And then last but not least, Andrew, how you doing, man?
Yeah, doing good. I mean, I'll be honest, these next 10 days are going to suck because it's just the anticipation is just killing me at this point. I just want to get to the draft. We've had all this talk about it leading up to it. And at this point, we just need the picks to come in and have something else to discuss besides, well, what else are the Bears to do at so-and-so pick and whatever. And we're going to talk about that, I'm sure, some today. But, yeah, I'm just ready to get to it.
I think that echoes like every Bears beat writer, blog, anyone that covers a team. I think we all pretty much have the story. I have the story written for Caleb Williams. I just have to hit publish for the official selection when it happens. But before we kind of get into the draft talk, though, our first question on this roundtable that we're going to get into is the offseason. You know, everything going on leading into the draft, obviously the big things, you know, free agency, a trade that the Bears have made. So my first question, and we'll start with Aaron, how do you grade the Bears offseason as we sit here April 15th? Not, you know, a ton of quote-unquote big moves, in my opinion. Obviously, the trade for Keenan Allen was huge. How would you grade the Bears offseason so far?
I'd say a solid B. And I know some people want to, you know, say that maybe a little negative, but I still think there's holes, man. I mean, going into the offseason, I don't know about you guys, but I expected them to address defensive line in some way, shape, or form. They haven't done that yet. I get it. They got the draft. They've made some really nice moves. Keenan Allen, They made a decision at quarterback. They've made some, I'd say, some shrewd free agent signings. You know, this is going to be a much better team next year. But at the same time, I mean, I'd also be lying if I said that my expectations for free agency weren't a little higher. So it's going to be interesting going into the draft because, again, I mean, we're talking about, yes, they have number one, they have number nine. But then after that, they got two more picks. They got 75 and 122. And with the amount of holes that they have right now and just kind of looking at the free agent market, it doesn't really look like there's going to be that, you know, that Yannick Ngakoue type move or whatever the case may be, the kind of moves that they've made over the last few years, unless somebody gets released. So they've kind of put themselves in a spot where it's going to be a little difficult for them to, you know, kind of come out and be able to fill all the holes and to really be a, you know, relatively complete team, which seems kind of crazy to say in year three of a rebuild, but it just feels like they could have done more. So that's why I'm sitting in a solid B right now.
You say, what is your grade and what is your favorite move so far of the free agency period?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Aaron, you know, I'm going to give them a B minus. It just seems like, okay, they did enough. But the question is, did they do more than enough? I don't necessarily think the Bears did. I think you start to look at this roster overall and you're like, okay, well, there's still, you know, a couple holes, a couple causes for concern, some, you know, places where you feel like the depth could certainly be addressed. But I would definitely say this. I mean, and I know that this is going to be an incredibly generic answer. When you go out and you get a productive veteran that's, whatever, 31, 32 years old, like Keenan Allen, you get him for a fourth round pick. I mean, that there is pretty much one of the most underrated moves of the offseason. But then I also look at some other moves. You know, I think the hands down, my personal favorite move, as crazy as it's going to sound, and I wasn't a big fan of the money that the Bears paid him, but it's DeAndre Swift. You look at this team and this running game. I mean, let's be honest, they haven't had a legit threat in the backfield dating back to, I would say, some of the Lovie Smith and some of even the John Fox days. You go out and you get a guy in DeAndre Swift, you know, a dual threat guy. Again, he's only got one really phenomenal year of production, but he does a lot of what Shane Waldron likes in terms of the dual threat ability, the ability to just basically be explosive, be kind of that pass catching running back. So he, I think, is going to add this sort of dynamic element to the running game that we've really been missing when watching this offense over the last like 5 to 6 years.
And Andrew, I don't know, like, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, I think my favorite move, and I think the most impactful move, this is crazy as it sounds, is the Bears making a decision on quarterback. Like the Bears actually trading Justin Fields after all they went through. It opened up the doors to go all in on Caleb Williams. It took a little longer than, you know, some would have imagined, but would you say that was your favorite move? Do you think that was the biggest move? Where are you kind of stand with that?
I certainly think in terms of like the long-term impact or outlook of the franchise, that's the biggest move right there, making that decision to move on from Justin Fields and go to Caleb Williams, who I'm sure Aaron will tell you from, you know, watching him back to his days in Oklahoma, he's the real deal. And, you know, Justin Fields, for all that he brought to the franchise, I think it was pretty clear that the Bears, with the position they were in, needed to upgrade. I got nervous a little bit that the Bears were going to pull the Bears and, you know, not make the key obvious decision that was ahead of them and upgrading that quarterback position, or theoretically upgrading that quarterback position, because you never know how it'll play out, obviously. But yeah, I think that was probably that, in conjunction with getting a guy like Keenan Allen, who just complements, really, I think, what Caleb can do very well in the passing game, was really the big thing for me. And getting two bona fide number one wide receivers to give your rookie quarterback to develop with early in his career. Now, we'll see what happens with Keenan Allen in terms of getting an extension done with him. You know, that would be ideal to lock him in. I know he's an older player, a little bit injury prone, but I think making that switch at quarterback, in conjunction with beefing up the offense around him a little bit, giving him some playmakers, legit playmakers to work with, as opposed to what we've seen over the last couple of years, where the last quarterback, Justin Fields, did not have those playmakers for the vast majority of his time here. That's huge. That's game changing. I think that's potentially franchise changing. When you look at the big picture,
I think we could all agree, and we've seen it all over the place. Like, it's a very, very unique situation for a rookie quarterback, especially number one, to come into. Like, this is not a number one pick bad roster. It is Carolina's pick. You know, the Bears, some games go their way. Last year they didn't. They're, you know, right there in the playoff race, all that. So I think you're right there, Andrew. Like, getting Caleb Williams some more help, that's, you know, that's always a good thing. But, Aaron, when you mentioned, like, you know, there were some moves you thought they would make and there's still some needs remaining, you talk about the defensive line, the pass rushers. I got a question for you. Do you think, or were you shocked by the amount of money that was being thrown around on the defensive line, on pass rushers? And, like, even a guy like Justin Jones, who in Chicago, I mean, was all right. Like, he didn't produce the big sack numbers, anything like that. Goes to Arizona and gets what I think is a great deal for him. More power to him. But were you shocked? Because you did mention as a need defensive line.
Yeah, so you're going to see a dog and a cat.
He just got attacked.
Yep. Yeah. No, this is one of our fosters. She's got a cone on, so she gets all jacked up.
Can she play defensive line? Or?
Yeah. Well, she's big enough, dude. Like I said, she's a Great Dane. So she's, yeah, that was not a pleasant thing there. But yeah, you know, so here's what I will say. The Justin Jones thing, I think, was crazy. You can probably see our Maine Coon in the background there. The Justin Jones deal still, it honestly makes me laugh. Nothing against Justin Jones, but, like, I don't know that there was one Bears fan out there that was like, man, we needed to run out and give him a 3-year, what was that, a $34.25 million deal. Like, what the hell? Like, what is that? You know? And again, I get it. It's Arizona, whatever. I think the rest of the money, for the most part, wasn't overly surprising. We all know him. We're all friends with him. Brad Spielberger has done a great job over the last few off seasons with PFF. He's no longer with them, but he's done a really good job of preparing fans for what these contracts are going to look like. Like, he's able to anticipate these cap jumps, you know, happening and kind of giving you a projection. Sometimes they're a little higher, sometimes they're a little lower, but it kind of gives you a good ballpark. So, you know, we kind of knew, like, Jonathan Gennard was going to be $18, $19 million a year. We knew that guys like Bryce Huff were going to be $16, $17 million a year. So, for the most part, no, they didn't surprise me. I think it just really comes down to a cash flow thing with the Bears. And ultimately, you know, too, it's one of those, they would rather commit short-term money, like we saw with Keenan Allen, what was that, $22 million, versus giving a guy like Danielle Hunter what did he end up getting? Wasn't it like $25 or $30 million? It feels like,
I think so.
Yeah, something like that.
25?
Something like that. But I mean, it's very clear that they felt more comfortable, at least in the short term, giving some of these guys money up front this year versus extending it in the next year. So we'll see. I mean, they have cap flexibility, but again, kind of my whole thing goes back to, I understand you don't want to build your team through free agency, right? And I completely understand that. But at some point in time, you're going to have to start making bigger moves than what they have right now. And that's kind of, you start looking at it, and it's like a defensive lineman, whether it was an end, whether it was a tackle, whatever the case may be, I still think that they could have made a move. And, you know, it is what it is. But now they put themselves in a spot where, I mean, especially if they somehow go offensive tackle at number 9 overall or in the first round, it's like, dude, like, you've got 3 sizable needs, and one of those is already not going to get touched. And then, you know, the quality of those picks are going to be, it's going to be tough to make it work. So we'll see.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'll go to you, Andrew. I look, and what Aaron said, like, still holes in the defensive line. They took Gervon Dexter high, traded up for him, took Zach Pickens. they're going to kind of rely on those two guys, Andrew Billings on the defensive line as well. Do you think that's a mistake? Do you think defensive line is still the biggest need, or do you think there's something else?
Oh, the defensive line is absolutely still the biggest. If we're just talking about what's the most glaring on the roster, like they could reasonably upgrade all, you know, three of their starting defensive line spots, because they've done, other than signing like Jacob Martin for what I'm assuming is like a minimum contract or close to it, they've done literally nothing to address it. And I still think defensive tackle, while they did invest two day two picks in it, is a need in terms of like if you're wanting to get a game-changing guy. I know DeMarcus Walker is kind of flexible in terms of playing both edge and interior, where I think he honestly rushes better from inside anyway. But yeah, they absolutely need to address that. The weird thing is that this draft, outside of like maybe the first two rounds, it's not a great draft in terms of defensive line talent. It really, the talent, especially at edge, really starts to dry up once you get past round two, and especially for the types of edges that this regime seems to, or at least I think that you want to look for, which is traitsy guys, guys who have that length profile, guys who are, you know, elite athletes or have that athletic profile that you're looking for. So, I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons why maybe I'm a little bit lower on this offseason so far. I'd probably give like a C+. I forgot to give my grade from the last question, but because that was a huge need that they just completely, I don't know if ignored is the right word, but I mean, look, defensive line is going to be an expensive market in free agency because of how valuable pass rush is. So if you want to really have that pass rush, you got to be willing to take these guys early in the draft, or you got to be willing to pay some money for these guys, even if it's a little bit of an overpay. Clearly the Bears weren't comfortable making that, living in that world in free agency. We'll see if they decide that they want to live in that world in the draft here. But here's the thing. They have other needs too. Wide receiver, I still think behind Keenan Allen is a need long-term, especially, you know, they need some depth on the offensive line. I think they could use a long-term starter to develop behind a Tevin Jenkins or a Nate Davis, depending on what they want to do there. So, yeah, there's still a lot of areas to attack on this roster here. But defensive line, as we see here right now, is clearly the biggest need. From where we stand,
you say, what are some other needs in your eyes the Bears still need to address outside? Obviously, quarterback doesn't really count, but what are kind of in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I look at this roster, at least on paper, and I think first glance you would go ahead and say, okay, you know, they've done a pretty good job, but then again, you know, the more the merrier in this situation. So you're looking at this, and let's just start with the offensive line. I mean, yes, you've got some talent there, but then again, I think last season particularly showed, I think really the last 2 years have shown, is it's like they need to invest more in the offensive line. Okay. And that means, you know, you're looking at some pretty good tackle depth, which, newsflash, this is the draft to go ahead and find some of your offensive tackles. You are looking at the possibility, and I know this is me looking too far ahead into the future, but again, there's no guarantee with Tevin Jenkins with the back and the knee and the hip injuries. Nate Davis, again, a guy who was kind of up and down last year. Well, do you really consider taking a, you know, guard on late day two or early day three, especially if you do decide, hey, we're going to trade down from 75 or 122 and recoup more draft capital? Do you maybe find a developmental guy? It's a pretty good draft to do that as well. I go ahead and I look at wide receiver and say, okay, you know, wide receiver to me is a very top heavy group. Yes, you have Keenan Allen alongside DJ Moore, but how about adding some young talent to potentially compete with a guy like a Tyler Scott or a Velus Jones Jr.? You flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and yes, they went ahead and added Noah Sewell last offseason, but maybe just adding someone behind Jack Sanborn, I think, would kind of be valuable. Some more middle linebacker depth behind Tremaine Edmonds would be valuable. I look at safety, and I'm like, okay, so you have Elijah Hicks, you got Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard's there. Well, you drafted Kendall Williamson last year, but do you maybe decide to say, hey, we're going to invest in some more safety depth, particularly because this isn't a very good class to begin with? The safety market, again, has been super dry, but that's just one of those where I say, okay, let's go ahead and let's push Elijah Hicks, who, in my opinion, I mean, has not been the best player in pass coverage, because quarterbacks and good quarterbacks that know how to read the field can certainly pick on him. And then kind of circling back around, you still need more defensive line depth. Everyone's going to say, well, you have Jervon Dexter, Zach Pickens, Andrew Billings. You've got DeMarcus Walker as well. And then obviously the big fish in the room is Montez Sweat. Well, you look at a lot of these guys, and I think Jervon Dexter is a bit of an exception alongside, you could argue, Andrew Billings, because those guys are your kind of starters at 1 and 3 tech right now. But they should go ahead and look to add more defensive line depth, because, you know, a lot of times when you look at this scheme more specifically, I mean, they're basically playing a 4-3-1 gap scheme. And so to Andrew's point, you know, you want guys that are going to be able to plug up the gaps with ease. You want guys that are going to be, you know, lengthy, toolsy in a sense. You could even argue you need guys that are kind of freakishly athletic. And so it's a situation where, you know, they pretty much have 6, 7, 8, 9 needs that they need to go ahead and address. And I would even say this, like, you know, Caleb Williams is going to be your quarterback. Well, how about bringing in someone as another developmental guy as a QB to just throw on the practice squad? Because again, you know, it's never bad to have someone on the practice squad just kind of sitting there and developing either.
And looking at this draft, we've talked, the Bears have 4 picks as of right now, 1, 9, a couple, day 2 and a day 3 pick. In terms of favorite prospect fit for the Bears, you know, well, let's throw away quarterback. It's the obvious one. We kind of know what's going to happen. With those picks, let's say even if they trade back, give me your favorite prospect fit for the Bears, and I'll start with Aaron first.
Why don't you start with the draft guys?
Okay, I'll start with the draft guys.
Aaron's start with the draft. Yeah, you got to start hitting the draft guys. A
little bit here, okay, we just want you to say it. I'll go with Andrew first then.
Well, since I'm assuming that most people are going to go with Roma Dunze here, I'm going to go against the grain and say that I actually really like Byron Murphy's fit for the Bears here. I know he may not have the prototypical length or size profile that this regime has kind of looked for, but I think Murphy is everything that you could be looking for in a 3-tech for this specific style of defense. I know they drafted Dexter last year and Pickens last year. Pickens does kind of fit that 3-tech mold, although personally, I think he's more of a rotational guy for you at this point. And Dexter, I think he can play all over. So to me, it's not a big deal to get a guy like Murphy, who I think does have some flexibility. He was playing nose tackle for Texas for a lot of stretches last year. So he has a lot of snaps where he has to take on 2 blockers, you see on his film. And he is an incredibly rock solid, like tanked up, strong dude. You know, he's only 6 feet tall, so he's not the biggest guy, but he plays low to the ground, good pad level, explosive off the snap, and he's just got insanely strong legs in that lower body to take on blocks and not lose leverage. And that's kind of the big thing on the defensive line. It's really a leverage battle there, and he wins it 8-9 times out of 10, and he combines that with explosive athleticism. There are not a lot of guys that can in the interior that can defend his ability to get around the edge of the guard or the center and turn the corner at the quarterback, which I know is typically said to be like an edge skill, but he has that ability as well to do that from the interior. He has a power profile to his pass rush. I think he can, you know, add some more moves to his game to kind of help if he can add like a cross chop or a swim move and even like a spin move there to kind of counteract his power. But I see him as a really disruptive player in this defense, and you add him to a lot of the bigger dudes they already have there, whether it's Dexter, whether it's Andrew Billings, whether it's even Montez Sweat on the edge, who's a big dude in his own right, as you know, one of the bigger edges in the NFL. Getting a guy who can just get up the field, kick ass against, you know, 1-on-1 blocks and just be a disruptor in there. I think he's a great fit for the Bears in the first round. Now, would I take him at 9? I don't know. I think you could get him in a trade down scenario, but yeah, he's a guy I'm looking for in the first round as somebody that kind of under the radar would be a really good fit if they wanted to address that defensive line spot.
We'll continue on with you. You say, is there any player that you think is just home run fits the Bears perfect. It's just a match made in heaven.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. It's very tough as I've kind of sat here and cranked out like 30-something scouting reports this offseason for the website to say like, okay, there's for sure one guy that I really go ahead and like. But, I mean, if I'm being fully honest, you know, there's actually two wide receivers. And the first one for me, you know, he's not the most popular guy amongst Bears fans because of the whole gun charge. But I really love Malik Nabers, okay? You go ahead and you watch a lot of the film that is – out there on these LSU wide receivers. I mean, and they know how to develop wide receivers. And it's not just the athlete, but when you really start to get into the intricacies of wide receiver play, and you look at a lot of the releases off the line of scrimmage, you look at a lot of the wide receiver moves, like the rocker step that they go ahead and teach these guys, you look at how they basically teach hand fighting essentially, okay? And you basically get enamored with how good these LSU wide receivers are. And again, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, so well, Malik Nabers is kind of in the same category as a Justin Jefferson or a Jamar Chase. I seriously think that those guys are in tier, you know, 1A, as they were in tier 1A as prospects. I think Malik Nabers, you could argue, is just in tier 1B. So again, he's not horrible, but again, he wasn't as big as those other guys either. You know, he can still be a really good player. The second guy to me that I think the Bears seriously need to go ahead and consider would actually be Texas's Xavier Worthy. And again, it's got nothing to do with the 40-yard dash that he ran. Yes, he holds the NFL record for that. Like, that's, to me, forever going to be the statistic that's on paper until someone goes ahead and breaks it in however many years. But I think Xavier Worthy is going to be so valuable for this offense because he's going to fit, you know, a lot of that kind of role that a guy like Tyler Lockett played for Shane Waldron in Seattle. You look at his basically speed is the first thing, and I think he's got pretty decent hands there as well. He understands how to go about running routes, and then effectively because of the vertical deep threat that he's going to be, he's not always going to get the ball on every single play. He can certainly be a gadget player as well in this offense, but then the big thing is this, is that he's going to start to open up those opportunities for guys like Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen. So again, you know, it's those are two really good wide receivers. Now, I will say this. If Malik Nabers is there at 9, I mean, depending on the information that's out there regarding the legal situation, you really have to do your research. If you believe that it's false, I mean, you have to go ahead and consider him to just continuously stack talent. But if Malik Nabers isn't there and you get one of these teams calling and you're like, okay, let's trade back, I mean, I would definitely not be mad if the Bears ended up with Xavier Worthy.
Oh, finally.
I was going to say Byron Murphy, but that's now out the window. So I got to get a little creative here, right? And this is going to paint. Well, so I've got two. I'm kind of like you say here. So I got two. I got one guy in the first and one guy I would say probably like mid to late second.
Let me guess your late second. Does he play defense?
No, he doesn't actually.
Oh, okay. That's going to be my guy. So I don't want to.
He's a receiver. Okay. So, yeah, I'll go with my first. And again, this pains me. I don't hate this prospect, but I really don't like the idea of him at number 9. And so Jared Verse, I think, is a really good fit for what the Bears are trying to do, right? Don't love him as a prospect. Think he's going to be good. Probably never going to be great. But I think if in a trade down type of situation, let's just say anywhere from like 14 to 17, 18, somewhere around there, I think he makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, of course, in that vein, then you get probably a second round pick out of that, which we'll get to here in a second. But I think with Jared Verse, I mean, again, the big thing is I like my defensive ends and edge rushers a certain way. And I don't particularly care for Matt Eberflus's defensive scheme all that much. I'll be completely honest with you. I don't really care for overly big defensive ends and how he runs it. You know, this whole like obsession being good against the run. It's like, dude, give me somebody who can get after the passer. Like I would rather have somebody that has 10 to 12 sacks a year that is not that good against the run than worrying about guys that are well-rounded in both. I think Jared Verse is one of those guys at 24. I don't really see a crazy ceiling with him, but I do think that he is going to be one of those safe guys. Again, my biggest gripe with him is if you want to take him at 15, cool. If you want to take him at 9, there's just not enough upside for that. I just, the longer that we go in this process, it's probably just me overthinking things. I just have this weird feeling that regardless of who's on the board at 9, in terms of receiver, Ryan Poles is going to take him, because Ryan Poles wouldn't take somebody that I wanted at nine. You know, I'm already getting the guy that I want at one. So there's no way this is going to be like a bang, bang, bang. So in my scenario, in terms of, you know, perfect fits, if they can trade back, you get Jared Verse, let's just say 17. I don't know why I keep going back to Jacksonville. Maybe that's a little too late. Maybe you have to trade up a little bit. Maybe you give up like a, you know, a third or fourth next year to get up a few picks with maybe like Indy, and you grab him, but you get that second round pick out of it. Xavier Leggett is a guy that I absolutely love. I think that he's one of those guys, and everybody's got this receiver class a little bit different. I've got a type at receiver. I haven't been shy with saying that. I love really good route runners. I like versatile players. I like guys with solid size. He's got all of those. I think that he would be a great fit in this offense long term. And again, it's kind of one of those things, Andrew kind of touched on it earlier, where you kind of look at this offense. It's like, okay, on paper, one and two look great. You got DJ Moore. DJ Moore will be here a while. Keenan Allen's kind of up in the air. Problem is, Keenan Allen's missed a pretty good amount of games over the last few years. So you have to count on him missing a few games. And right now, if you look at the depth chart, number three on that list is Tyler Scott. And it's like, and then you start going down the list, you got Bayless Jones, Dante Pettis. It's like you're one injury away from having one of those guys be your receiver too. So I think ultimately you need two guys, but I think if you don't go receiver in the first, it needs to be a trade back situation. You need to be able to find a way to recoup, even if it's a pair of thirds and you can trade those two thirds and get up, you know, for a second, or you trade a 2025 second with a fourth, kind of like they did a few years ago for Anthony Miller. Like, you got to get in the second for receiver. Because I think there's a lot of good guys there, but Xavier Leggett would be my guy when it comes to that.
He's a popular name right now going around the Chicago Bears circle. Andrew, you said you had one more you wanted to add.
Yeah, kind of going along the lines of what Aaron was talking about, getting some size at wide receiver. Because right now, you know, DJ Moore is kind of that. He's that number one guy who is great at all three levels, obviously, but he's a great yards after the catch receiver. Underneath and in the intermediate parts of the game. Keenan Allen's that, I think at this stage of his career, more of a slot guy, possession receiver, separates with route running and savvy and just knowing how to get open. But they need somebody, and this is something that goes back to watching Caleb Williams' film. Caleb Williams really loves to trust his bigger body receivers with one-on-one jump ball, contested catch scenarios. And there's a couple guys on day two that I think could really fit that role. Leggett is one of those guys. If they can get a round two pick, if they can't get a second round pick, one guy that could be there in the third round that I'm starting to warm up a little bit more on as the process has gone on, Johnny Wilson out of Florida State, who's Keon Coleman's teammate. You're talking about a guy who's a complete outlier in terms of size profile at wide receiver, 6'7", like 230 pounds, 35 inch arms, but he also ran a 4.5 40. And his explosiveness and his movement skills at that side is really freaky. It's really impressive to see him be able to run the types of routes he can, despite being such a big guy. So he's another guy, I think, in the third round, if they're looking to get that traditional X receiver. And we know Shane Waldron coming from Seattle, he had experience with DK Metcalf. I'm not saying Johnny Wilson's DK Metcalf, but two different players, but they're similar in that they're both that traditional big body X type that kind of run the vertical route tree, can get open on slants and in breakers. Like, that's Johnny Wilson's game right there. So I've been warming up to him a little bit. I'm kind of giving a preview. You say that I'm going to be recording a mock draft episode in a couple of days here. I'm kind of giving a preview in terms of who can you expect on my mock draft. But I see him as a really nice big body target for Caleb Williams to kind of run those red zone fades and one-on-one balls along the sideline. He's a guy that I'm actually starting to really like.
I think in mine, I'll give mine really quick, but I'm going to kind of maybe throw a little bit of a curveball here, because I don't think it's necessarily a position of need right away, but I do think they still need to address it. And when I look at, you know, the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, I think they're going to take one of a wide receiver, offensive tackle, defensive end, edge rusher. At nine, if they stay there, when I look at day, you know, the third round, I look at a safety like Kalen Bullock, former teammate of Caleb Williams, and I look at his traits, his length, his size, his athleticism, his playmaking ability, his speed. I think he was like a 4.46, 4.47, something like that, 40-yard dash. He fits the mold of everything the Bears like in their secondary. And he would be a fine free safety replacement down the line. You know, obviously they signed Kevin Byard in the offseason. When you look at the Bears' defensive backs and the ones they've drafted and the ones they've gone after and kept, I mean, length is a big thing with them. Speed is a big thing with them. Athleticism is a big thing with them. I think he's the perfect fit if they were to address safety. And I bring it up because I do think when you look at if they trade back or whatever, they could still address defense. I think a lot of people think, you know, outside of defensive line, they're kind of set. I think they could still address defense maybe in terms of bringing him someone in like Bullock who can sit, learn behind Byard, learn behind Owens, learn behind I'm blanking on Jaquan Brisker, and kind of develop into a good safety. I just think overall he's like a perfect fit for their profile. All right, let's move on to the next one now. We know what they're going to do at one. I keep saying this. Number nine is the biggest question mark. It is one of the more fascinating questions in all of the draft because a lot of things could happen between pick 2 and 9. And the actually 3 and 9, the draft is really going to start with the New England Patriots in my eyes. Could 4 quarterbacks go in the top 5, 6? Will a team trade up for a quarterback? What's going to happen with the offensive tackles? What do you guys expect the Bears to do at number 9 overall? And you say it, I'll start with you first.
I mean, to me, 9th overall is that really massive wild card because kind of what happens at 3, 4, 5, 6 is really going to determine what the Bears end up doing at 9. Because let's just say you go with the Patriots and they say, okay, we're not taking a quarterback, we want to trade out. Well, then you're going to get some of these teams that may want to go ahead and move up. Let's just say you get a team like Minnesota, who we know has 2 first-rounders, they want to go ahead and move up. Well, it gets really interesting for the Bears here. Because do you get on the phone with Adolfo Mensah and Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota and say, hey, we'll give you 11, we'll give you the 9th overall pick for 11 and 23 and maybe, you know, throw whatever, a 4th or 5th in there to kind of sweeten the deal. Do you kind of hope that the Raiders, who I know news was leaked that they're not going after quarterbacks, but instead it's going to be like an offensive tackle or a cornerback? I mean, I just think that's a total smokescreen right there. Do you get on the phone with the Raiders or even possibly the Saints, who are kind of picking in that 12, 13, 14 range? You know, to Aaron's point, going back to 17, maybe do the Jaguars kind of look at this and say, hey, you know, we want someone to pair with some of the young receivers that we have. We want to add to the core that includes Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence. Well, let's make a big move up. Let's go get a wide receiver. Do the Bears even consider trading down? I mean, I'll be fully honest. You have to figure out a way to bridge the gap between 9 and 75. And really, the only way to do that is to trade down. I do think Ryan Poles is going to look at this and he's going to say, hey, look, yeah, you know, we could take an offensive tackle here and have our 2 bookend pass protectors for the next 10 to 12 years. But let's go ahead. Let's kind of trade down because we do want to address the defensive line. We do want to add some more depth to the wide receiver room. You know, this is too good of a draft to not have, especially the first 3 rounds, I should say, to not have anything from 9 to 75. So I do think the Bears are ultimately going to trade down. It's just going to be how far down the draft board do you trade. But then again, you know, let's just play devil's advocate here and say, okay, well, they're going to trade up. Well, to me, and I will throw this out there right now, there's only one guy I'm really trading up for, which would be Marvin Harrison Jr. And teams are going to look at it and say, well, you're going to have to throw in that 2025 second round pick, but it's going to be the lower of the two. And teams are going to want Carolina's 2025 second. So the Bears do have that working for them.
Andrew, what's your expectation for the Bears at number 9, less than 10 days away now?
I think they're going to trade down personally. I think you say alluded to this, but I think Ryan Poles desperately wants to get into that second round range where I think there is going to be a ton of value there. Like, this is a very talented draft at the top in the first 2 to 3 rounds. So to miss out on a player in that top 50 range, even top 60 range, I don't think that's something that he wants to do. Now, if there's a player available at 9 that he absolutely cannot pass up on, whether it's one of these wide receivers, whether it's another position, Could he stay at nine? Yes. But I think he's going to be in a really good spot to trade down at number nine. I think when you're looking at it, just the way I'm kind of forecasting things, you know, it's possible that OT2, second offensive tackle, whoever that is for a team in the draft, he's probably going to be available at number nine. You have the possibility, what if one of these quarterbacks slip to number nine, right? We talk about the top three picks probably are going to be quarterbacks. We know teams like Minnesota is going to look to trade up. Denver, Las Vegas, what are they going to do? They're going to look to trade up if there's a guy available at nine as well. You look at other positions, though. I know a lot of teams, or a lot of people may seem to think that the Bears are dead set on drafting a wide receiver if that receiver is there at number nine. At this point, I'm not too sure, because Keenan Allen, to me, kind of speaks that that was kind of their significant move at wide receiver. Yes, they want to add there, but they're not necessarily beholden to that at that number nine overall pick, right? So if a wide receiver's there, let's say Rome Dunze is there and team looks to trade up for him, and they're willing to give up a significant amount and pay that tax because there's a possibility that the Bears can say on the phone, like, hey, we like Rome Dunze too. We might want to take him there. You might want to give up a little bit extra if you want to come get him. And that could certainly be a situation that plays out. So I think they're kind of in a prime spot to trade down. You know, another guy that could be available to trade down with for a team is, you know, Brock Bowers. There might be a team that really values Brock Bowers as a weapon on offense, right? If you're taking positional value out of it, he's probably a top five prospect in this year's draft. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of options there for the Bears to move down, get some draft capital, because, like I said before, I think Ryan Poles really wants to get a second-round pick this year. I don't think he's satisfied with the lack of draft capital that they have, and they may pass up on a couple of talented prospects to do that, but that's kind of where I see this going based off of how I've seen Poles operate in the past.
Aaron, where do you think the Bears are going to go at number nine?
It's funny because when I originally sent this question to you and we're getting this roundtable together, I was like, dude, they're one of these three receivers is going to be there. They're absolutely going to take this receiver. There's no question it'll be Rome Odunze. And it's like, again, maybe we've just kind of gotten into the part where we're just overthinking everything. But it just feels like the obvious answer isn't going to be the answer. And I think the more and more you listen to, you know, different draft analysts talk about how this is kind of like the top 120 picks are, you know, really good. And then it falls off a cliff after that. And I think for the Bears, it's like you can look at this two ways, I guess, right? You can look at this and say they have four picks in four rounds, or you can look at this and say they need a second round pick, right? Like they don't have a second round pick. They need a second round pick. So I just, it feels like one of those situations, if you're not locked onto one of those receivers and you're fine losing some value in the first round to be able to gain some value in the second round, like Andrew's pointed out, it makes the most sense, right? Because you can do a multitude of different things. Like, let's just say you trade down to 13 or 14. And like with the Saints, for example, like they don't actually have a third round pick. So it would have to be a second round pick. So maybe instead of trading, and I know that Brad threw it out there where you basically would trade, I think it's number 9 and 75 for 14. And I think they're 45, I want to say, something like that. Either way, top 50 pick. Maybe instead of that, you say, okay, if you really want one of these offensive tackles at nine, we'll give you a 2025 third round pick and we'll take your second round pick and you keep your third and your second or whatever. There's different ways around it. But I think really what this comes down to is, yeah, I do think the Bears want to recoup some value, but I don't think it's just going to be any value. I don't think you're going to see them move down one spot and take a fourth round pick or move down two spots and take I guess one of them would be a future fourth and one of them would be this year's fourth. Like, I don't really think you're going to see that. I think it's going to be either we're going to sit there and take our guy at nine because this is who we want, or we're going to move back, a decent amount and we're going to, you know, grab at least a third round pick. But I don't know. I think everybody's kind of on the same page right now where it just feels like the Bears want to find a way to get that second round pick because it gives him that much more flexibility. All of a sudden, those defensive players that we've talked about, Jared Verse, Byron Murphy, just throw out a name. Those guys make a lot more sense around 15, right? Then you get a second round pick out of it. You know, it just makes more sense. So we'll see. I mean, but also like you said too, I mean, if we're sitting there next Thursday night, man, and the Chargers are on the clock at five and four quarterbacks are gone and they say, hey, we'll take Carolina's 2025, you know, second round pick if you guys want to move up. That's almost a no brainer. You get the two best players in the draft. So it's, I don't know. For as much as I would like to see that happen, I think we can all agree it's probably not very likely. So I think the most likely scenario, if they can, would be to trade down. But it feels like the closer we get to the draft, the more unsure I am that they're going to sit there and stick and pick at nine. I think if they can get the trade, they're gonna make it happen.
I think anything's on the table. It is so. I mean, I go through so many scenarios. I'm putting out a mock draft tomorrow. I think Ryan Poles will definitely want to recoup some picks. But I'm also in the camp where I think Ryan Poles looks at it like this. I think he's got his number of blue chip players that are in this draft that you can get in the first round. Caleb Williams is one. I think he's going to look at this and say, if any one of my other blue chip player prospects that I've evaluated over the past 3 to 4 months into the college season are there at nine, I'm going to go that route because I think he's thinking if everything goes well and everything goes how it should go, this is the last time the Chicago Bears should pick in the top 10 for a long time, 5-6 years, we'll say. You know, obviously NFL, things can happen, things can change. So it's not a guarantee, but that should be the plan. You should not be planning on picking in the top 10, top 15 for a while. I think he stays put. I think he gets one of those prospects because – I do think a couple quarterbacks. I think people saying May is going to fall out of the top 10. I don't see it. I think someone's going to come up for J.J. McCarthy. I think four are going to go. I think the Bears will be sitting in a situation at number nine where they could have Odunze, they could have Alt, they could have Reese, they could have Dallas Turner, another one of the tackles, potentially Neighbors. I think someone's going to be sitting there. I think they take a player at nine, and I think, you know, nothing – honestly, it's, you know, if they took a – obviously, this would be the craziest thing. If they took a running back at nine, defensive back at nine, that would totally throw me for a loop. I don't think that's going to happen. Leading into this, final question before we kind of wrap things up, and I thank everyone for joining me tonight. I know, you know, the draft is getting so close, and we're all excited to talk about it and everything, so I appreciate you guys making the time, but – give me a bold prediction to kind of wrap this thing up with the draft. Can be anywhere from now until the end of the draft. If you want to project a player that you think they're going to pick future with the team, anything like that, let's do a bold prediction. Let's start with Andrew.
Bold prediction. Bears are going to trade down, get a second round pick, and they will not use a first or second round pick on a wide receiver this year.
Oh, okay.
So the earliest they're going to pick a wide receiver is going to be the third round. That's my bold prediction.
So they're going to have me screaming at the TV is
yes.
what you're saying.
They're going to do this exactly to spite you, Aaron. That's the way this rolls here.
Yeah, this is exactly how this works. So, George Pickens a few years ago and now this.
So Aaron, I'm guessing that's not your bold prediction.
No, it is not my bold prediction. I've gone back and forth a little bit. Because I don't know like what you would even say is bold at this point. Let's just put it this way. I think somehow, some way the Bears are gonna draft a punter. Whether that's with a fourth round pick, fifth round pick, maybe they get something. I don't know. I don't know why, but for some odd reason I wanna say that this is not actually his name. So somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Torrey Taylor. Is it Torrey Taylor? The punter for Iowa?
Oh, no, it's
Torrey something.
I haven't been scouting my punters. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's Torrey Taylor.
Okay, see, because I have Corey Taylor in my head, which is the vocalist of Slipknot.
No, and this is Torrey Taylor.
Yeah, Torrey Taylor. So I don't know why. Just call it a weird gut feeling. Like I have a feeling that they're gonna draft a punter. Maybe it's like a meaningless pick in like the sixth round, but I don't know. I did that. That's going to be my bold prediction. That's kind of lame, but that's just
no.
That's,
I mean, the wind's blowing. To be fair, I don't think Trent Gill had the best season last year.
He's terrible. Objectively, one of the worst punters, right? In the league. He's bad.
He had a good rookie season. I mean, for a rookie, you know what I mean? Like, good enough to probably earn him the starting job. But yeah, I mean, he wasn't good last year. So and you know, the Bears had so much wrong with them last year, and so many things happened from start to finish that, you know, if you are, you know, a player that struggles on the roster and don't want to be in the spotlight, and I could talk to him, it's punter, because everyone kind of overlooks that. So you say, what's your bold prediction?
Yeah, I get kind of, you know, excited thinking about it. But earlier I mentioned that the Bears could trade back to 12, 13, 14 with New Orleans, Las Vegas, or the Denver Broncos. But how about we start to look at that lineup that is at 16, 17, 18 with Seattle, Jacksonville, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, I'm going to say this. I think my bold prediction is not as bold as Andrew's or Aaron's, okay, because Andrew knows well enough to know that I suck at these bold predictions, but the reality I think is I think the Bears trade back with Cincinnati. And I say that because you've got a team in the Bengals that very clearly is at a point where they know that they haven't, you know, yes, they've competed in the AFC, but things have kind of not been as ideal. You look at the T. Higgins situation. And so all of a sudden, if you're Cincinnati, you're looking at this and you're saying, okay, well, if a guy like a Rome Odunze falls, for example, or a Malik Nabers there, or even let's just say Brock Bowers. I mean, hell, because to Andrew's point, you take away the positional value and Brock Bowers is a top five prospect in this draft class. I think Cincinnati moves up the board and gets one of those guys. Okay. I would even say this, if a guy like Joe Alt is there and Cincinnati really wants to finally get that stud pass protector to help Joe Burrow out, well, then I could totally see Cincinnati moving up the draft board and then, you know, executing that trade. And it's interesting because, like, when you look at where Cincinnati's at, I mean, they're picking at 49 in the second round. So, you know, it would kind of be that sort of happy medium right there for Cincinnati, where if you're the Bears, right, you're moving back from 9 to 18. Cincinnati, let's just say, swaps 18 and gives up 49. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Bears are picking at 18, they're picking at 49 and then 75. So kind of, in a sense, you know, a couple evenly spaced draft picks.
Yeah, I look at bold predictions. I think they're very tough, just because of what I said in the last segment. Like, nothing outside of drafting, like a running back or a defensive back or, you know, anything like that, you know, would really shock me at number 9 overall. Obviously, if they didn't take Caleb Williams, that would completely shock everyone. So it's kind of hard to define, you know, quote unquote, bold prediction. I think a move that could happen, and I've kind of warmed up to it, and it's not bold because I do think it makes sense in a way, but it would make some fans unhappy. I think they take Brock Bowers at number 9. I think they sit there and they look at him and they say, we have Cole Kmet, we have Gerald Everett. Is Brock Bowers only a tight end label? Can we use him as a wide receiver? Can we move him around? He would fit perfectly with Cole Kmet. I think that's what they think. They go there at 9. That'd be my bold pick at 9. That's not quite going to mock them at 9, but that would just be like my bold, bold pick at 9. So I'm going to take someone like Brock Bowers, you know, which is it's hard because he's labeled as a tight end, but it's not a quote-unquote need, you know, in a way. But it's adding a playmaker to the offense. That actually is going to wrap things up unless any of you guys had any other insight, anything you wanted to drop in on this podcast, any good stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll go first and just say, watching J.J. McCarthy at Michigan and then watching the Minnesota Vikings, I do think the NFC North is going to have two rookie quarterbacks, because to me, I mean, J.J. McCarthy is a perfect fit for what Kevin O'Connell's trying to do in Minnesota, especially with the passing game. So get ready to hear the Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy debates. Not that they're much of debates anyway, but we know NFC North fans can be.
Just don't give Minnesota Drake May. That's all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If they want J.J. McCarthy, sell the farm.
They can have Jaden Daniels. They can have whoever they want, but yeah, no Drake May.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you guys know I'm a North Carolina fan. It is crazy to me. I just – I don't know. I don't see it. It's wild to me. I told someone today, I was actually talking to one of my neighbors, and I told him there's two quarterbacks I'd be very comfortable with. There's a third I could live with in this draft. I wouldn't personally, me, I wouldn't touch McCarthy. I wouldn't touch Penix. I wouldn't touch Nix. I'd actually rather take Spencer Rattler over Penix and Nix, in my opinion. I Caleb Williams is one, and I think Drake May is the other good quarterback. I think Jane Daniels you can win with. I think he's kind of getting the little Heisman bump here at the end. I appreciate you guys joining me on the podcast. Aaron, where can everyone follow you on Twitter at?
Yep, you can find me at Aaron Lemming NFL.
Andrew, where can everyone follow you on Twitter at?
Yeah, you can find me at AJ Freeman 25.
And then you say, where can everyone follow you on Twitter at?
You can follow me on Twitter at Usaid Koshal.
Awesome. Make sure to also follow the Bear Report on Twitter, just Bear Report. Check out Picks for Polls podcast. Rate, review, subscribe to all of our podcasts. Helps both the podcasts out. The draft guys are churning out content. Usaid's doing a great job with the scouting reports. You guys are doing kick-ass stuff with the podcast, all the draft stuff. I really appreciate it. Until next time, everyone, please stay safe, please stay healthy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.